This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. Thousands of construction workers in Dubai, one of the Gulf Arab states, walked off the job on Sunday, May 19th to demand increased pay and better living conditions. They are employed by Arab Tech, one of the largest construction firms in the region. Strikes are very rare in the Gulf states where unions are banned. Most workers are migrant laborers from countries such as India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Nepal. They are housed in dormitory-style buildings on the outskirts of the cities and not allowed to leave except for work. Arab Tech is also operating construction projects in another Gulf state, Qatar. Qatar is undergoing a construction boom because it is scheduled to host the World Cup of Football in 2022. Recently, the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation, Sharon Burrow, visited Qatar to investigate the wages and working conditions of the workers in the country.
We're standing up for migrant workers here in Qatar. They have no rights, they have no voices. So today we're their voice. We want freedom of association, the right to organise, the right to bargain collectively, the right to safe work. We want the dignity of a minimum wage and, of course, accommodation conditions that are decent. This is 21st century enslavement. They are at the mercy of employers who simply don't see them as human.
The UN High Commission for Human Rights is calling for fast action to empower trade unions and reform the garment industry in Bangladesh. Rupert Colville, a spokesperson for the High Commission, says the agency is urging greater emphasis on inspection of the country's garment factories. Diane Penn of UN Radio reports.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Navi Pillay is calling for swift action to empower trade unions and overhaul the garment industry. This follows the deaths of more than 1,000 people in Bangladesh last month in the collapse of a building which housed several clothing factories. Human rights spokesperson Rupert Colville says the High Commissioner is urging greater emphasis on oversight and inspections.
This issue does not, of course, just concern Bangladesh. 2 years ago, the UN agreed a series of guiding principles on what needs to be done by businesses and governments everywhere. Governments must have effective policies to prevent, punish, and redress abuse of workers' rights. Businesses must act to prevent and address rights abuses, and victims must have access to effective remedy. In other words, while the spotlight has been on the international brands sourcing from Bangladesh, this should not detract from the duties and responsibilities of governments and factories to prevent this kind of disaster happening and to ensure redress and accountability when they do.
The UN Human Rights Chief has also welcomed the decision by nearly 40 companies worldwide to sign a workplace safety agreement for Bangladesh. Diane Penn, United Nations.
In other news, 100,000 workers marched through the streets of Rome on Saturday, May 18th. They demanded that the government stop its austerity programs and focus on creating jobs. On the same day, police in India attacked a demonstration of auto workers and their families at the Maruti Suzuki plant in Haryana. About 100 people were arrested. The demonstrators were demanding the release of 147 workers arrested during a confrontation at the auto plant last July. The International Labour Organization, the ILO, has told the government of Swaziland that it must officially recognize the country's labour federation. The government revoked the registration of the Trade Union Congress of Swaziland to KUSWA when the Congress called for democratic elections. Swaziland is ruled by a dictator king, Mswati III. In Jordan, security forces stormed the country's justice building to prevent public employees from continuing their daily sit-in strike. The workers have been on strike for almost a month to demand better working conditions, increased wages, and more bonuses. In Pakistan, the Supreme Court has ruled that a military-owned company must reinstate 112 workers that the company fired 22 years ago. The court ruled that the workers were illegally locked out in 1991 and must be reinstated with full back pay. And that's it. Now you're up to date with the latest international labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity forever.